inshallah, Mukhtasar Tars Ahadith Hoga, a brief lesson of hadith, inshallah, with a request to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله The above this chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has established فضل الزهد في الدنيا اس باب کے اندر امام نووي رحمتullahi alayhi دنیا کے اندر زهد اختیار کرنے کے متعلق کچھ احادیث لائے ہیں. So the next hadith, inshallah, continuing from where we left off last week. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الدنيا حلوة خضرة وإن الله تعالى مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء رواه مسلم. سيدنا أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ بلا شبہ یہ دنیا میٹھی اور سبز و شاداب ہے اور بے شک اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی نے تمہیں اس دنیا میں خلیفہ بنایا ہے. فَيَنظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی دیکھ رہے ہیں کہ تم کس طرح عمل کر رہے ہو دنیا کے اندر. تو دنیا سے بچو اور عورتوں سے بچو. So this hadith Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that indeed this dunya is sweet and it is green and lush, khadiratun. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you responsibility, has entrusted you with the affairs of this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching how you practice and how you do actions inside of this dunya. So stay away from the dunya, beware of the dunya, and beware of women. So a few points are mentioned in this hadith. Firstly, the fact that this dunya is sweet. Something which is sweet is tasty, is delicious, is appealing, is attractive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this dunya is very enjoyable. Jis tarah koi meethi cheez hoti hai, halwa, ya mithai, ya something or the other. Shakar, jis tarah meethi hoti hai, to insan ko laziz mahsus hota hai. Similarly, the things of this dunya are very, very appealing, very tasty, very enjoyable. Allah Ta'ala has made them very enjoyable to the nafs. And khadiratun, they are very green. Khadira, something which is green. The scholars of Arabic would say that the Arabs, would call something very appealing and pleasing khudrun. That's why they say Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam is also called Khadir. Why? Because when you would look at Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he was very, very handsome. And when you look at him, you'd become very, very happy just seeing his appearance. That was one of the reasons why his name is Khidr, and there are other reasons. The point is that this dunya is very beautiful to look at, very, very attractive, very, very appealing. Another point Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned is that the way vegetation and crops and plants and things like that are very appealing and pleasing to look at, this is one of the reasons why the dunya has been called Khadir. And another reason is because the same way that crops and things like that, they finish very soon and they die out very soon, they don't last. Everything has an expiry date. So this is another reason why the dunya has been called Khadir here. It has an expiry date. Whatever we accumulate, whatever we gather of the dunya, whatever we harvest and harness of the dunya, all of this will come to an end. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you the inheritors of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted this dunya to you. Okay, this is yours. Is dunya ke andar insan rehta hai. To ye dunya jo hai, is dunya ki cheezon ko insan istemal karta hai. Allah ta'ala ne uske liye, insan ke liye is dunya ki cheezon ko paida kiya hai. All of these things inside of the dunya are for the human beings to use, to utilize, to adorn our lives, to live our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to us, and He is watching very carefully how we go about utilizing these things. Allah ta'ala, inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is carefully watching, carefully observing every single thing we are doing. The bounties of the dunya, the blessings of the dunya, how we are utilizing them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So fattaqu ad-dunya. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fattaqu ad-dunya, stay away from the dunya, be very careful of the dunya, beware of the dunya. That the dunya is something which can destroy a person. Last hadith we covered, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't fear poverty for you. To his sahaba, I'm not scared of poverty. Why? Because when your iman is strong and your yaqeen is strong in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, poverty only increases your iman. Poverty only, you know, increases your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for those whose iman is weak, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, kad al-faqru an yakuna kufran. That poverty can actually lead them to disbelief. That's why you hear many stories of Muslim countries where poverty, they're suffering through poverty, especially certain African countries where Christian missionaries go and they give them bread and they give them some necessities of life and they all convert to Christianity. So this is when iman is weak, then poverty is a fitna. But when iman is strong, then poverty is not a problem. Like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, how many days would go by poverty? Look at the situation in Philistine. Another example right in front of our eyes. People suffering through poverty. But it's only increasing their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not making them feel that Allah is not with us. Rather, they feel that this is a test from Allah, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely reward us for it. And this is the way that the believer looks at trials and tribulations. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. But when the dunya comes, the dunya makes a person lazy. Because the first thing you have to do is look after it. Job, business, mashallah, Allah ta'ala blesses someone with one wife, two wives, three wives, looking after them. Allah ta'ala blesses a person with a few houses, looking after them. Allah ta'ala blesses a person with cars, looking after them. All of these things, just tending to the things of the dunya, so time consuming. And then the fikr, the stress, which is always in the mind. I haven't done this, what am I going to do about this, what am I going to do about that? And naturally, the more of the things of the dunya you have, the more your standard of living increases as well. And when a person gets used to a certain, someone recently was saying, one of our satis in the masjid, that my family are now used to this 5-bedroom house, and I can't downgrade anymore. Even though I want to downgrade, and when I did buy it, I had to buy it in a way that Islamically wasn't permissible. I didn't realize, now I regret it, but the family are too used to it. Everyone's got their own bedroom, their ensuite bathroom, and they can't downgrade now. They're too used to it. So this certain livelihood, this certain lifestyle, when we get used to it, then it's very, very hard to actually, leave that. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in the hadith that to the Sahaba, that I'm not scared that poverty will afflict you. Rather, I'm more worried about the things of the dunya opening in front of you. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, be very careful of the dunya. The dunya is very dangerous. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, we always have to connect it back to him. He's the author of this kitab. And he wrote this kitab for us as a guide, that when we live our lives as Muslims inside of the dunya, what are the ingredients that every single Muslim needs in their life? And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, look at his life. Subhanallah, he never got married. He used to live in a small room. many of his years of his life he spent in the Masjid of Dimashq, Masjid of Damascus. Or he would stay in his room, you would walk into his room, you would find him hunched over with all of these kitabs, piles of kitabs around him. And he lived his life like this, 42, 43 years of his life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a death at a very young age. So he wrote this kitab. And it's beautiful, every single hadith is very important. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the things of this dunya to you, they are at your disposal, you can use them, but Allah is watching how you will use them. Okay? When we use water, when we eat food, are we eating, drinking that which is necessary for us, or are we eating and drinking in extravagance? Are we wasting food, wasting water? Subhanallah, I've got children, many of us have children, it's very difficult when you give children food, they don't like it. And then they don't like this food. And a lot of times food is getting wasted. And sometimes it's just shocking, and then they're just throwing it. And we ourselves are so, you know, careless when it comes to wasting food. And similarly, our children, we have to be very, very careful. Every morsel, every luqma is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just last week I was talking about Shaykhul Islam Murna Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi. That when the dastarkhan in Silat would be laid out for him, and everybody would be called, all the villages would be called. And Shaykh would never eat, and he would wait till everybody had finished eating. And then he would go around, and all the leftovers that they had left on their plates, he would eat. So his close satis and his close acquaintances, they realized that this is Shaykh's habit. Because they would give a big dawat, everybody would turn up. And obviously all the local people, many of them didn't have or understand the etiquettes of eating, or they didn't follow all the adab. So they would all wait, and everybody would talk while the normal people had finished eating. When everybody had gone, they would go around the dastarkhan, go to people's plates, finish off the food. He's teaching them. Don't waste food. Food is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Haji Sahab was telling me the other day, mashallah, our elders have so many fine points that they mentioned. He's saying, I was sitting with Murna Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi once, I think in some house in Manchester or Ashton, and he was saying somebody dropped from Shaykh's cup of tea, a drop fell. So Shaykh scooped it up, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali scooped it up with his teaspoon and he drank. And he said, Bhai, aapko maloom hai iske andar kitne Allah Ta'ala ki ni'matein hain. Ek chammach chai mein, isme pani bhi hai, isme doodh bhi hai, isme shakar bhi hai. This is how the pious people think. That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Suratul Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Allah Ta'ala will surely ask you about the blessings on the day of Qiyamah. I gave you this blessing, this ni'mat, this ni'mat, this ni'mat, this ni'mat. What did you do? In fireworks season, we have to tell our youngsters, don't take money, don't make it explode, make your money explode in the air. Shadi mosam mein, shadi ki mosam mein, shadi biyah mein, hum kitne paise kharch karte hain? Bilkul zaya karte hain. You know, cards and small this and that and so many unnecessary expenses. We have to be very, very careful. On the day of Qiyamah, I will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me the question, was it not your money? What did you do with that money? You have to be very, very careful. So Allah is watching very carefully how we go about behaving with the blessings of the dunya Allah has given us. So be very careful of the dunya. Dunya se parhez karo. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, in the start of his Riyad al-Salihin, in some editions he mentions that a beautiful poem, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنَا طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some very intelligent servants. They have given talaq to the dunya. And they're so scared of fitnas of this dunya, so fearful. جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنَا. They think that this dunya is like a big ocean. I need to save myself from this dunya. And they make their good deeds like a ship in which they sail through the ocean and they get to and they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we live. Zarurat, zarurat, zarurat. Things which are zarurat, we use them. Necessity, and beyond necessity, no, I don't need to indulge in. I've got money. Why don't I give it in a place where it is necessary, where people need it? Why don't I spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why don't I spend it in some charity or some charitable avenue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me for it? I don't need to buy this, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that. Allah is going to ask me about it on the day of Qiyamah. And then finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ. Beware of women folk. Because the fitna of the temptation of women folk is a very, very serious fitna. And that's why so many times in the Quran, in the hadith, the instruction to lower our gazes, the instruction to be very, very careful of women folk. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he mentions that إِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. The first fitna that came upon the Banu Israel was in regards to women folk. مَرْدُونْ كَ دِلْ مَنْ يَكْ فِتْرَةِ طور پر عورتوں کے لئے شَهْوَتْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى نِ رَكَا ہے. اور اسی طرح عورتوں کے دل میں مردوں کے لیے. This is a فطرتی طور پر a natural thing, the desire for men and women. ابھی اگر میں کہوں نہیں 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 میرے دل میں تو بھائی میں تو recently we had this issue, you know, and people are saying, no, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything when I sit with women. So this is a dhokha of shaitan. This is a trick of shaitan. The shaitan has made you so immunized. You think you're immunized because you've already, oh, what's the word in English they say? You know, when you become so used to something. There's a word for it in English. Desensitized. I'm so used to staying with women that I just regard myself like a woman, mashallah, no feelings, no emotions for women folk. But this is a trick of shaitan. And that's why we have people who are so used to being with women, and then now they say, I have no shahwat in women, and now they have shahwat in men, their own gender. So it's so dangerous. Men and women, they naturally have attraction for each other, desires for each other. And in the Quran, so many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in different ways. That stay away from fitna, lower your gazes. قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes, protect their private parts. Believing women, lower their gazes, protect their private parts. So the ulama even say, listening to the voice of a woman who you feel shahwat is created in the heart, this is haram. It's the reason why they put all of this is because zina is such a great sin. The problem we have is zina has been normalized. And the severity of zina is not in the minds of our people. That's why the love marriages and all this. Love marriage is the last stage. Before that, so much zina is taking place. It's normalized. So every family and society in our society now, love marriage, love marriage, love marriage, love marriage. Before that marriage, what has been going on? Zina. So many different forms of zina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, everything has a zina. Zina al-ayni al-nazar. The zina of the eyes is looking. The zina of the ears is hearing. The zina of the hands is touching. The zina of the feet is walking towards something which is haram. So we have to be very careful. These restrictions that Sharia and Islam has placed is for our protection, so that we can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. But we think, oh, no, this is making life very difficult. This is like this, this is like that. It's for our own protection, for our own salvation. How many people are falling into fitna on a daily basis? How many people have filthy thoughts in their mind, filthy, you know, intentions? And the TV that we're watching, the billboards that we're seeing, the things that are coming on our phone. You can't even go on YouTube and watch a video without seeing some woman dancing in front of you. So this is the reality. So that's why we have to be extra careful, extra cautious. Teach our children, our boys and girls, hijab, parda, modesty. That they have it ingrained in front of them. Don't create this society. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. As long as you don't do anything. We send them to the college, to the university, so to the mixed environment, and say, just don't do anything haram. So you put them in the fire, and they think, just don't burn. So it's a very, you know, irresponsible thing to do. So humne apne bachon ko bilkul aag mein dala hai. Humne kaha, chalo, mardon ke ikhtilat, khalat malat jagah mein jao. School mein jao, college mein jao, university mein jao, baghair kisi parda ke parwa ke isi tarah muh mein makeup bilkul jitna chahte ho matlab laga ke jao, aur phir agar fitna ho gaya to it's your fault. Your fault. How dare you bring this fitna to my house? You put them in there. You didn't teach them. We didn't teach them from a young age that no, you know, men and women, they have to have shyness, haya. Al haya'u shu'batun min al iman. Haya is a very important branch of iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here that beware of women. The fitna of women is very, very dangerous for the men. For the men, the fitna of women is very dangerous. Some have even mentioned here, some ulama, that when it comes to wives as well, that be very careful. That don't become so inclined towards your wives that you forego the rights of your parents. And this is one of the things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. It's going to be the sign of the day of Qiyamah. That people will bring their wives very close, they listen to their wives and they disrespect their mothers. So we have to be very, very careful. Again, when it comes to wives fulfilling the rights of our family members, it's very, very important, but we can't forego the rights of our parents. Oh, youngsters aren't here. This is what our youngsters need to hear. That when they get married, straight away, forgetting about their parents. No khidmat of parents, no concern of parents. It's very difficult. It's very challenging. For a young person, we get married to a young woman from this country, is very hard balancing that and their, you know, the attention that they need, mashallah, with parents. But we have to do it. This is our responsibility. So we have to use hikmat, we have to use wisdom, and we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to ask Allah, oh Allah, give me hikmat. Because sometimes people go this way, sometimes people go that way, and many times marriages are breaking. And when the marriage breaks, the young person, he suffers mentally, he gets affected, he goes into depression, he goes into sadness. Then he says to the parents, "Oh, it was your fault. Because of you, it's this, look how it's happened to my marriage." So he was too hot-headed, wasn't calm, wasn't composed, didn't know how to balance. So it's very challenging. That's why our asatid, our ustad, Mufti Nazir Sahib used to say, that never get married here, always get married back home. But the reality is, our own daughters are growing up in this country, our own sons are growing up in this country, they need to get married to each other, so we need to educate them, teach them, train them, that when you grow up, these are the rights of your husband, this is how you have to behave, this is how you have to be. When you normalize something in your house, then this is what the child learns and grows up with. And these are the lessons that the child takes forward into their future. So we have to train them. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة متفق عليه. سيدنا أنس رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah, سيدنا أنس رضي الله عنه روايت فرماته كي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نرشاد فرمايا كي الله جينا نہیں ہے سوائے آخرت کا جینا, کوئی زندگی نہیں ہے حقیقت میں سوائے آخرت کی زندگی. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned, oh Allah, there is no life except for the life of the آخرة. This was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was motivating the Sahaba with, which the Battle of Khandaq or something. That Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhira farham al-ansara wal-muhajira. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying this and encouraging the Sahaba when they were all lifting the heavy stones and rocks to build the ditch, the trench in the Battle of Khandaq. Rasulullah was encouraging them. So this is known as hijab. Hijab is for animals. But this is, it's some kind of motivation, some kind of encouragement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at time to time would say poetry. We said to Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki adat nahi thi, shair shairi ka. Lekin baz dafa hadith mein hum dekhte hain ki Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is composing some poetry. Again, it's for encouragement. In Battle of Hunain, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. It's just to encourage people. And when his finger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was bleeding, he said, "ما أنت إلا إصبع دميتي وفي سبيل الله ما لقيتي." That you are nothing but a small finger that is bleeding, and whatever you have, whatever has afflicted you, it's in the path of Allah subhanahu wa taala. So you're getting a reward for it. So time to time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would mention these small pieces of poetry, but it was always, beautiful. Yeah, sher shairi ki adat achhi cheez hai. When Yusuf Mutala sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, once he did a bayan, the whole bayan was a naat and the virtues of naat, because a naat, a good poem, can be a means of encouragement and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as long as it doesn't have music in, as long as it doesn't have words which are wrong in Islam. So anyway, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions in the hadith that asdaqu kalimatin qalaha labid. That there was a poem, there was a poet, his name was Labid. Labid bin Muawiyah al-Amiri, I think. Radiallahu anhu, Sahabi. And Sayyidina Labid, he became a Sahabi later on. He was a very old person. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, in pre-Islamic Arabia, he was a great poet. So he composed this famous stanza, poetry. He said, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَحَالَةَ زَائِلُهُ. He said this poetry. And in the time of Jahiliyyah, Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un, in the time of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu, when he became a Muslim, so once this Labid, whenever he would come, there would be a huge majlis, huge gathering. So everybody was gathering around. And Labid, he said this poem, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ. Everyone listen very carefully. Apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything else is batil. Everything else has no meaning. So Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un, he said, Sadaqta, you are saying the truth. And then he said, Labid said, وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَحَالَةَ زَائِلُ. Every blessing will definitely come to an end. Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu said, No, you're lying. نَعِيمُ الْجَنَّةِ لَا يَزُول. The blessings of Jannah will never finish. So somebody struck him in the eye, Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un, and he had a black eye. And he was so happy that he got this black eye because for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say the truest poem that Labid said was أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ. So appreciation of poetry we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So poetry is good. Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we should listen to, we should recite. But at times poetry is very, very beneficial, good poetry, to ignite, especially the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, so this is a piece of poetry. Oh Allah, there is no true life except for the life of the akhirah. Meaning the life of this dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not even calling it a life. It's nothing. It's like a mirage. You think there's something there, but there's no real, you know, there's no real happiness. You get it, there's a bit of satisfaction. Next day you're bored of it, you're sick of it, you want to upgrade. You have everything. Whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's a phone. MashaAllah, even in marriage. If you are just getting, if it's just because you're looking at that thing and you're wanting the beauty of that thing, you're going to get bored of it. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything inside of this dunya. It's, you know, the effects of it, the pleasure of it does not last. Ask someone who has a beautiful mansion. Go to him, he'll say, oh yes, yeah, it's normal. And we walk in thinking, wow. Ask someone, he's got a swimming pool, he's got this, he's got jacuzzi, he's got sauna. And we're walking in thinking, where are we? And he's normal, yeah, nobody even uses the swimming pool, it's got litter in it, I don't know. Nobody, you know, it's because it's something so normal. Someone who's got a nice car, then they've got marks on it, oh yeah, it's okay, I've been using it a couple of years. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the true life is the life of the akhirah, the life of this dunya is nothing. That's why a person shouldn't lose themselves in the things of the dunya, but a person should have the akhirat always in front of them. Learning about Jannah, reading about Jannah, reminding ourselves about Jannah and the blessings of Jannah. Okay? That's the true life. That's where a person can get everything that they want. It's only happiness, no sadness. It's just joy, it's just pleasure. There is no, you know, no form of any kind of bad feeling inside of the heart in Jannah. It's just pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Whatever your nafs desires and whatever, you know, is pleasing to your eyes, and you will live inside of Jannah forever and ever and ever and ever. And the blessings are always improving and getting better and getting better and getting better and getting better. You will never get bored. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all the correct and true understanding of the life of this dunya. Allah ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to prepare for the akhirat. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu, bihamdihi, shalala, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.